Good morning, everyone. Happy Earth Day.
Good morning. Happy Earth Day to you, too.
Yeah. All right. Yes, it's Earth Day. I haven't checked in on the news or anything, but I believe we have a whole lot of people marching for Earth Day and a celebration and remembering that science might be helpful. And so I just wanted to say one thing about that. And if we get into the right consciousness with this, we can get some pretty good new technology going relatively quickly, which would just dissolve some of the problems that we seem to not be able to resolve. So, you know, I'm keeping that in mind for this call. And this also affects you personally, because that same consciousness that could bring in technology for certain people to contribute to our world, you know, to assist with issues people have had, women's issues, reproductive issues with clean water, which is probably going to take a bit, absolutely a bit, but, you know, we can make progress, but we have to have the right consciousness. So let's all take a breath, get our breathing going, letting go. There's some themes to a lot of the questions that you've asked, and I'm committed to being with you today. And even if our call ends on Facebook, until we get down to what you need to have for the next phase. This is the third in a series of calls that we added just to kind of get into this new consciousness and in this new reality that we are creating. So let's go ahead and bring in our alignment. So I know we always go to core, but I'd like you to just do that quickly for me, just kind of clear out your core. And some of you are just holding like the problem. So just let the problem kind of go for right now. Just set it aside in a little basket and we'll come back to it. And just get clear, because I want you to bring in I want you to be really in touch with your origin of innocence. I'm using the word innocence because this is something that is our birthright that we are born with. This is part of the best of humanity and how we can have a self-nurturing cycle. A self-sustaining energy system. You know, the magnetic lotus had the self-sustaining, loving part, the highest frequency, all the things you were looking with for in the outer universe you could have right within you, which you still do. And we're going to add the innocence now. We've talked about it before. Okay. So we're going to program our core to the best use of the innocence, and for the magnetic lotus part of ourselves, we'll go ahead and allow that upgrade to take place so that it has a perfect interface with the use of this. There are a lot of things that bring this on in our life. It could be that you smell a flower and suddenly you're there. It could be that you have a certain childhood memory and suddenly you are there. But I want you to go into that place beyond the cynicism. I want you to get the mind and out into equanimity. Let's do that now. That's the most important step for this. Now, all of our cores are being kind of reprogrammed for this upgrade. We've had, if I look at the flow of humanity, the flow of humanity is about two octaves higher than it was last year. So it's quite wonderful. So I'll talk about that. I want you to remember what it was like, you know, at a certain age where you could hop and skip without pain. You could, where everything was new and wonderful. Now, if you were tortured as a child, you may not have access to very many of these memories, but I want you to go into your imagination or into like a past memory of a time you did or someone you observed who did. And I want you to take that on where you are young in consciousness and you can look at everything in innocence. I think this is the Bible phrase, which I know many of you are not very big on the Bible, and that's okay, but it's like you have to be innocent like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is the same thing in a new version, a new way of discussing it. So I want to talk about ducks. So you've probably seen ducks that get imprinted on dogs, like they hatch and something happens to the mother duck, a dog comes along and suddenly all of these little ducks in their little innocent duckness are following a dog thinking it's their mother. They've imprinted upon. This is a quality of your innocence. It imprints. It happens at a very young age. It can happen later in life, but definitely at a young age, we begin taking on what we are taught. And we repeat those patterns over and over again because one of the ways that our innocence works is bonding with parents that help keep us alive. A duck would normally imprint with a duck, its mother. But if the duck is not available and a dog walks along, whoever it sees in that certain amount of time will get that energy. So if you had a parent that wasn't necessarily a nurturing parent or was pretty good but had some funny programs and they passed those along to you, you imprinted in your innocence on these issues. And some part of you is going to recreate them over and over and over again. And you can't really outsmart this, but what you can do is you can shift it and you can clear it. And this is where the consciousness rising comes in, because you can't just wave your magic wand and have it be forever done unless it was almost done anyway. This does require going into that innocent part of you that connected in the first place and being able to let go of that program. So you can heal and consciously rise in wisdom. I want to talk about Harry Potter. So some of you saw a discussion I had about glasses because he had these funny glasses. But besides that, when Harry Potter, if you read the children's books, was in a crib, let's call him an evil man, Voldemort, Lord Voldemort, walked into his house, murdered his parents, did a whole bunch of magic. He got a big Z on his forehead, and he created a trauma bond with this fellow. And what was that trauma bond? He got a little bit of the magical gift of Lord Voldemort, and he got a trauma bond. So he was able to see in. He was able to kind of know what was going on. So trauma bonds. So let's go back to Harry Potter. Harry, at the end of the series, finally stops this. And it's not all of any of his magical stuff. Those are just there to help him. What really helps Harry at the end is the same thing that helps us. He was able to get into that loving innocence that was very suspicious of other people, a forming bond, even with the friends he loved. And he had to get into that consciousness of that young boy that took on that trauma bond and restore himself. He raised his consciousness on it. And it wasn't mental. This was on every level. He used everything he had. He used his emotions, he used his feelings, he used his heart, he was able to hold into that heart innocent space as he did this very difficult work, because this was very painful for him, and he was able to restore himself. Now, I use Harry Potter because it's easier to talk about a character than your personal problem. This is the same thing that we do. And we just came out of this Venus retrograde time where we were all introduced or reintroduced through our innocence of what it is that is our lifetime work. And whatever came up for you, that's probably a core thing. And I want you to think of it as a gift. It's so much easier to know what you're working on than not. That's a huge step in itself. And if you're feeling a little bit of cynicism, if you're feeling just a little bit of sarcasm, not just one person mentioned it in letters to me recently. I want you to reframe that. That's a step in restoring your equanimity. That's a step. That's where you are disengaging from the trauma. You don't really know how to reframe it. It's kind of a whole negative experience, but you will eventually get to equanimity. So when you have the equanimity of your mind, which is basically the upgrade of your ego, and you have this innocent quality that we're talking about today, you are able to do some pretty amazing healing with yourself and others. There are some types of healing that the whole magical kingdom of Harry Potter land could not do for Harry. He had to do for himself. And every hero's journey is like this. And the hero's journey is all that is what it is for humanity to rise. And every person has to take their own step. You can take help. You can have somebody there with you. You can have someone edge and remind you of the way. But you'll be the one who makes those choices for yourself, because it can't really be done any other way. Because if it could, we wouldn't have it. All right, go ahead and breathe. And we're going to increase this innocence. And we're going to go into, let's call it a new earth upgrade. If you've been paying attention, the earth is shimmering, it's changing. So let's go ahead and align yourself with the earth, the water, the air, very good. All right, so some of you get a little dizzy when you tap into this new earth. So let's go ahead and stay with this alignment. It's very powerful if we're not used to the earth being part of our sustenance. Now, we're in the highest consciousness of the earth. We're not into other levels of it right now. We're staying with the highest consciousness of it. This is the place we want to hold the earth in. Because if you're not holding this, if you're not into that beauty, the innocent part, the program of where you're going, or what the blueprint is, then you won't have the energy to take care of the problem. You won't have the energy to contribute to a positive outcome. Okay, there you go. All right, so some of you have just now clicked in, so I'm going to stay with this, keep talking while this energy moves through your body and around you. So when I'm talking about this innocent, it's almost like heavier air. You know, it's like a little bit of what we used to call plasma, but that's already worked through the system. This is something that is within Earth. It's upgraded. It's ready for you. Here's just this new age of innocence, we'll call it, until we have a better name, that's just with you. The beauty of this energy is it will also disengage easily when you're tapped into it. It's just like when we're doing authentic heart protocol and we hang into the highest frequency of love, when we really get into the consciousness of this particular energy that is your birthright, you can let go of things that you're carrying in it, like Harry was carrying the trauma bond. And some of it looks like old, rusty, burned out grids and stuff or something from a junkyard. Just go ahead and let that field clear. We're clearing that of everyone's programs and whatever form it's taking. Cartoon form, geometry, junk, pain. We'll just let it go. So we have a new earth energy. We have our innocence, and it's all around us. So many of you have been on my dolphin calls or dolphin times, and let's talk about the dolphin energy. The dolphin is a vertical and horizontal energy that exists in our consciousness and on the earth for the good of the planet. And it's the same in whale land. It feels a little different, but it's there, and it's true for other mammals, giraffes, elephants, some of their evolution is at a different stage than others. Some are evolved so much that they may be leaving the planet in the form that they're currently on because it's not syncing up anymore. Hang on. Just stay with this. I am four. A planet that makes home to all mammals that have been here, that want to be here. But many have passed into extinction. But there is an intelligent field that still exists from when they were here. So at this moment, let's go ahead and do an upgrade for all the fields for our highest and best good. And the earth. And the earth provides a home for these circulating levels of consciousness that exists in the family of wolf, the family of dog, the family of cat. Giraffe. I want you to stay with that until it feels harmonized. I'm feeling a few of you just relieve this field, this innocent field of trauma that circulates through your system. So I'm just staying with that as that goes. That would mean that you've done the work and this last little piece is moving out. Now that octave, that new octave of humanity also circulates in a vertical and horizontal field circling the earth. So in the same way we would think of a river, think of like a river of humanity, and I want you to think of the highest octave form of humanity. And anytime you feel that you want to do something for human evolution, you can tap into that river and you can just allow the old rusty parts just to move. You can help purify this river of humanity. This river of humanity is where your ancestral lines come from. And you connect to it at your conception. Good. The funny thing about ancestral lines is when you look back several hundred years, you can usually feel strength from that line. And you might feel it from your parents or your aunts or uncles or your grandparents. But sometimes the ones you know the best It's like they've swept forward the problems that you have inherited, the programming that it's left to you to resolve. Some of them in the old fields, you know, 5-6 generations back and further, may have already resolved this. And in our consciousness, we have not bonded with them or bonded with someone who knew them so that it's easier to see their strength. And if you know no one in your family that makes you feel strong, it's okay to go check out your ancestry and find someone who did something amazing. That can feel good. That can remind you that you also came from this beautiful flow of the river of humanity. I hear you. Some of you are saying it's just a sewer, Sherry. But let's go ahead and keep cleaning that. Let's keep clearing that river. So another trauma bond that happens, a program that we get from another, can be cruelty, torture, and then some part of our innocent self is always looking for it. And during that time, we might actually get connected to attachments that people carry. And that's the easy part to get off. Program seeking out that attachment over and over again. That's where your consciousness rising comes into play to assist you. Okay, so let's stay with our upgraded earth, our innocence, and let's just let this continue to circulate as we clean and upgrade. So I talked about a self-sustaining, nurturing system, and that is true for this innocence. That part of you that is born, that heals fast, kind of knows the truth about things, might have to pretend not because that's how your family's training you and you want to fit in. But you know, it's an intelligent field. It's just doing what it thinks it's supposed to do. All right. So I'm going to just go through, I want your concentration to be on the innocent, heartfelt, because it's a heartfelt love field, that innocence, and acceptance. I want you to stay with that energy, but I'm going to mention some issues within the group that we are moving out, that we are at whatever level you can receive it, upping the consciousness of. So we should be in the resolve portion of this. So the problem has come up. The knowing where you want to go should be clear. You might be remaining with the frustration that you're not there yet, but it's coming. You're going to be getting your feet under you soon in the next month or so, or with by the end of the call, who knows? So let's go ahead and concentrate there. And so for some of you, large percentage of you, there's like this boogeyman energy, like something you can't trust in men. So let's go ahead to that innocent part, and I want you to bring it in to clarity. Just a gentle reminder to yourself that the nurturing isn't coming from that. That was just something that walked by your consciousness that you attached to. That is something completely different that doesn't have anything to do with you. So let's just move it out. And I want you to go back into that innocent feeling. It's almost like heavy, you know, I mean, not heavy, difficult, but it's like thicker than air, this innocence. And you can think of it as the field of the fluid you swam in before you were born, where you were nice and safe and loved. A lot of people identify this as angels. It's actually your consciousness running through this. Okay, stay with that. So if you feel like this angelic kindness there, that might be what you're feeling. That might be the field we're talking about. Okay, good. Now, I did say that this is a rejuvenation. It's a restorative, has a restorative quality to it. And it's the first energy that you want when we're clearing something. Now, you have been face-to-face with an old issue in the last couple of months. You had to be. I mean, that was just the way the world was made. And with this energy, what I'd like you to do, if there's something left, just stay with the innocence unless you have something you're still not finished with. And I want you to hold that. It could be a pain in your thigh. It could be something in your ankle. And I want you to allow that innocent quality to just seep into your body. I want you to feel it in your skin, in your tissue. And just let it go into the painful part. And just let that loving energy be there. It's a lot different than the energy that you bring in, you know, from above to show you what higher consciousness is. This is the birthright energy that you have. All right, very good. So we're going to continue our move through the body. So if you have parts of your body you dislike, this is a wonderful moment to take it through. Let's say a thigh, let's say a little lump or bump. So this is a way to shift your consciousness within your physical body into that restorative field. You might notice that the earth has a restorative field. If you take poison out of the earth, it restores itself. Life always finds a way. It's constantly an evolution, but it keeps finding a way. And this is the truth for your body as well. If you tap in to this way of being on the earth, you'll be able to do this. I want to also run this through the body. It's been kind of an acidic time because, you know, so much has come up. So just let that run through your body and let the old out. So when we move a little bit more of an alkaline field, this innocence and our heart together, we begin to start clearing. And we ask for that physical intelligence to be there. And this is what responds. This is a big part of what responds. So between your toes, the bottoms of your feet, little crystals in the bottom of your feet, just let all of this energy be there and help soften it. This energy likes the movement of the body and it knows the rhythms of the body. It knows the correct rhythm for your heart, your digestion, your brain waves, your growth cycles. Now, so for many people, and I'm talking about autoimmune disease, which is an epidemic proportion right now in the world, just go ahead and allow that self-destruction vibe just to leave the body. For some of you, that's coming off the creation of blood cells. Good. Just gentle. Okay. So I'm seeing some of this energy seep into the spinal cord. Some of you are letting it come in, letting it wash and renew. If anything seems too much, just let it wash right into the earth or just disappear out of your field. And I want you to fill all the little crevices of your body with this energy. And you still might see like big portions go. All of us are given, you know, this is just the way it's designed. We all absorb through that innocence the weaknesses of our parents, the weaknesses of those that we love. And they can be seen as almost like a geometric distortion within the body. And I want you to go to where you took in, out of love, your father's dysfunction. Just get a picture of it. Where is that in your body? Just allow that to go. And let you fill that space up with this higher frequency. Do that now. And the mother will have a different look to it, feel to it. And I want you to do the same thing. Just gently allow that to go and fill it up with this innocent light. You might be relating to the dolphins or another part of the animal kingdom, whatever that is for you, or angelic realm, whatever it is, to allow any support to be there for you that you need. Some of you had significant people in your life that you were not related to and you took in their pattern. Just go ahead and allow that to go and fill up. So our consciousness affects the earth, and the earth's consciousness is also another feedback loop. And so let's purify the entire feedback loop. The earth is wired to work in harmony with the night and the light. There's love in the darkness of caves and the ocean hitting the shore. From the top of mountains to the depths of valleys. You just feel that energy. So the omentum in your belly, we want to go there and just allow that innocence to be there. And then we're going to move through the myofascia field. The myofascia is part of your connective tissue surrounding everything running through your body. So go ahead and allow that innocence to be there. And the love in the heart. Kind of going through a bit of an initiation. We're going to stay with it until it's complete. All right, so we're going to start work. We're going to let out some programming. The cruelty is the first one. So where we are sensitive to cruelty and we seek it out, where we operate it against ourselves or bring in someone else to give it to us. So let's just go ahead and allow that cruelty pattern to leave. And the amplification of a cruelty pattern. Why am I saying that? Because a trauma is trauma, but you notice in a lot of the animal kingdom, when it's over, it's over. But in the people kingdom, when it's over, that's when it just began. So it's like the instinct to resolve it before it happened isn't there, but an amplification of the impact of it just goes and goes and goes. And this is part of how the human field developed. So let's go ahead and turn down the amplification for trauma so we have more resilience to it. And we can more easily see where the innocence sought out, attached to, just like those little ducks with the dog, and held on. So I want you just to allow that love to come home. And that means back to your core, back to you. There is a rose energy that would like to be with us today, and it's very beautiful. It's part of the divine feminine energy. So you might smell roses or feel roses. We're just going to allow that to move through and assist us today. Plant kingdom is always very helpful, isn't it? You know, the plant kingdom is the basis of most medicine. I want to go to a specific programming that happens with people where we give up our inner authority, where the equanimity, that part of us that knows how to make decisions and knows what's best for us and is the still mind connected to all things. I want you to go there. I'm going to bring in the energy in case, you know, you could use it. So that's kind of a turquoise energy within your head and your throat down to your heart. Above you, calming. This is your inner authority. So when you have left and you have concluded a cycle where you say, oh darn, I just gave all my power to that person again. And we can do that through reaction. We can do that through all kinds of things. But it's a power that we give away so something can repeat a pattern of where we feel victimized. I go ahead and love this part. Let's return to your equanimity. This is the place where we go, where we have oversight. I hope I'm not taking a step too far for some of you, but this is also a piece as you grow in your consciousness that we can also project onto like a guide or teacher. I have worked an awful lot with people who used to be in cults, and some are quite destructive, where people died. A lot of people died. And it's like this madman thing. So because I've spent so much time there, I kind of resonate in a like avoidance of anything that smells like it. And so that also is an overreaction. So we want to tune down our resistance to the fact that we have a world where it exists. The whole world went into overreaction recently. And we've been working on these narcissistic personality disorders. How do I know that? Because it came up in every session I had. And also, we started seeing it in literature. We started seeing it in articles. People were taking their power away and recognizing the dysfunction of it, recognizing how they so easily would go and repeatedly give their power away to this energy. And it's also in politics. It's often in a strong man theory, authoritarian regime, and to the extent that you feel confident in that, where more powers are taken from the people and they do it, that may make you feel more confident. And that might be right, or it might be a part of you that has a way that you give up your power to another and you just feel better when something very strong is in control, even if it's not for, even if it has a lot of dysfunction in it. Now, if that's the political view, that's one thing. But if it's a dysfunctional view, that's completely a different thing. And for some people, not everybody, but for some people, that's hoping daddy will take care of it. And everybody wanted a strong, rich daddy. So there are some parts of our psychology that might need upgrading. I'm not saying that's true for everybody, but you see it everywhere. Women often seek out men that are powerful and have more money than they do. That's part of that pattern as well. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, what's the degree that you're doing that so you give up your own sovereignty and you don't have to take care of your own self? It's possible to have both, but you know, we're getting into minutiae of how consciousness works. And I want you to bring that in. Bring that in, because even the little things can make the big picture better. Good. Now, the earth knows how. The earth doesn't need someone to superimpose its healing. It might need some assistance from technology, but it actually knows how to restore itself. And it's certainly cleaning up rivers and stuff is something we can assist with. And not adding to the intense amount of cleaning that needs to be done. And that's also true with you, to the degree that we keep adding trauma over and over again. So I want you to go to that part of you that repeats your trauma. I want you to see right where it connects to the trauma, the repetitive pattern. And just gently let this part of you know, which is an eternal part, it might not be that aware of time, that we don't need to repeat this. We're going to return that to our inner authority, our equanimity. Good. Okay, so I don't know where everyone is at the moment, so I'm going to move into calls pretty fast and do a quick scan of the email. Some of them I started answering, and it's okay if you asked a question by email and you want to ask it again, that's fine. Okay. And Elena, that's fabulous. Okay, so Elena said, why do I have so much resistance and avoidance about moving forward and taking care of my business? So some of that is the pattern, and some of it is when you have the pattern of nurturing your business means you give up on nurturing yourself. And the stall can be in getting that straight, letting that finish out, that self-nurturing, self-healing quality get restored in you. Now, what some of you are going to notice as you do this is it's like you're starting to feel the toxin as it leaves. So just keep purifying it. I did say we were going to do like a well of strength. And before I move to questions, we're going to do that. So I want you to think of the purest water on earth. The purest fresh water on earth. And it doesn't matter, the purest salt water on earth. And you might have to imagine it because it's kind of hard to find right now. I want you to stay with that vibration of that. Our bodies are mostly water, salt water, really. And I want you to stay with that energy. I want you to feel it under your feet in the earth. And I want you to allow that to come up and sort of bubble out of you, that pure energy, and let that kind of wash clean the field as it detoxes. And as this innocent permeates everything, you're going to go through an energetic detox. You don't have to have physical symptoms. You might, but you don't have to. You mostly are just becoming very aware of what you've been carrying. It's just like when something leaves the field, you don't really notice it in your body, but as it leaves, it gets bigger and wider as it leaves, and then you notice it more. But that's just it leaving. So let this well of strength come up and help clear the field. So it's like you're standing on a spring. You can also bring down a waterfall of light. Just let that feel clean. And then we'll upgrade the innocence. But it's actually doing its work, right? It doesn't know its work. It thinks its work is to go attach to someone else to get the trauma to clear, to repeat the pattern. But we're in the cleaning out phase, and this is an unusual part of it. It's not one you may have been aware of before. So things that will help your body are soaks in a bathtub, taking showers, getting in dirt. You know, mud's really good for clearing this stuff out. So when we take the pattern out of the body, it might look like a geometric darkness in some funny shape. But the truth is, it's in all the cells, it's in all the in-between spaces, because that's how consciousness is. So that's what we're seeing clear. And we're clearing at a level we haven't really cleared very much before. Okay. Now, because it's designed to do that, we'll bring in the Christos to assist. Good. All right, so that's going to keep going. So I may be coming back to that as we talk to people, because I want to get you on the phones. All right, here we go. Let's see who's first.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Colleen. Hi.
Hi, Colleen. How are you? I'm good.
Wow. Powerful again. It's always is in such alignment.
Thank you.
Is that cruelty part just really, oh my gosh. I mean, just tears were flowing. Can you check and see if I've got remnants of, you know, if all that is cleaned out? I feel like, and today's Earth Day, but it's also my Uncle Louis, who was like a mother and father to me and loved me. It's his birthday. He's already transitioned. And in the transition, before he transitioned, it was after my mom and dad's death. It followed 6 months after that, and I took care of him. That's when some crazy things started happening. I'd set up all this stuff for all the loss with the financial within a few days prior to death. And then just before his death, you know, I had his medical care. And I've always felt guilty over it because they gave me a choice. His kidneys were failing, and they wanted to do a treatment on it. And I think I selfishly wanted him to live. And then he was in so much pain before he died, and he was screaming and yelling, and I felt so guilty over all that. And I loved him so much, I didn't want him to be in pain, but, you know, I've never had any dreams about him or anything. He's never really come to me like my parents have or anybody else who's gone over on the other side, and it's just like he's left. And I want to clear that out of my system.
Let's go to the cruelty. Go to the where's the cruelty in your body?
It's in my top of my head and in my voice box.
Okay, and there's another pattern too, but let's go to the ones you mentioned, and let's go ahead and move the pattern of cruelty that the innocence attached to.
Okay.
Move that out. So innocence is interesting. It's just like, oh, the dog's my mother. Oh, getting tortured as a two-year-old is normal. Oh,
yeah.
You know, that's how the innocence attaches and recreates. So our job, you know, is to raise that consciousness. So let's go to, as we leave that out, let's let that go. Let's bring that in. So the equanimity is important. Let's feel that.
Okay.
Colleen, I'm going to go to like a circular, it's like a, if you saw an eclipse, you know how the sun comes or, you know, is kind of in a circle, but you see energy around it. I see that right in your chest. Any parts of your cruelty program? Let's remove it. And just gently let the innocence know, oh, our equanimity is in charge now. Okay, good. And I'll let that align. So remember, we've talked about it being kind of global, this innocence around us.
Yes.
But let yours get a little more vertical and let everybody on the call do that. So it feels high. Good. How are you feeling?
Better. Yeah. Now the top of my shoulders are aching for some reason.
And let those fall. Let those fall. Okay, so there's a part of your innocence that is attached to the torture that your that a part of your uncle felt, not all of them, but a part of them felt this. So I'd like you to ask that part of your innocence to return so that can resolve. And when you see this kind of this wash clean energy over that point of attachment of the uncle's experience. Because he's, you know, he also gets stuck in it. Okay, so I want you to see him. You can put him in an infinity loop if you'd like. And let that energy just move up and down his pain-free new place. How are you feeling?
Okay. I'm still behind my eyes, just very intense. It's just very intense.
Okay. Go ahead and
like
let
darkness.
That... Let that go inside out. Like go to that place that you're feeling behind your eyes and just take a bit of your brain and turn it inside out and let everything go. And let it reset. How are you feeling?
Ooh, yeah. I just felt the shift.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
What do you make me cry every time I get on?
Well, it's a comfortable place to release the tears. Okay, so now this, your uncle, he kind of has a little bit of a split thing going on. Some part of him is very excited, exploring, very interested in knowledge. And another part is kind of in the pain. So any part of yourself that's holding him in pain, I just want you to just restore that. Just bring that back to yourself. Any part that's participating and holding him in pain. And we're going to remove that part to the light so it can restore for your Uncle Louie. I didn't finish with your uncle, but there's more steps that have happened. How are you feeling yourself?
I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm feeling
grief, guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the grief and guilt, that's personal work. And
grief
this is
and
what
guilt.
I want you to do. Find that part of yourself that is, so this is what I was talking about earlier. Some of these steps, you can certainly do it in a session and, you know, sometimes it's easier and faster. But this is authentic heart protocol. The part of you that is feeling the guilt, do one at a time, and they might come in together. And then the part that's feeling the grief. So let's everyone do this together. All of you who are feeling guilt or grief or whatever else that's intense, go ahead and invite that into your heart. Christos is present. The innocence is present. Very good. And then just let it. So it's like this little rock. Yeah, just let it just evolve as you hold it and notice it. And are with it. This is the program that's going to, what in Harry Potter, we call that destroying the Horcrux or something. But I don't want you to blast it. What I want you to do is just let the density resolve because there's light within it.
Oh, it feels like dirt. You know, he was a farmer, and it feels like all of a sudden now it's not dissipating, but it's going back into the ground.
Yeah, that can happen.
It's kind of like, going back to dirt instead of like the rock.
Which is perfect for Earth Day. So the part of you that held that there in your consciousness, allow that to return. And that should assist you in your inner Christos light, and that would also assist you in your equanimity, or both of those resolve. Because some part of you, when you hold that sort of thing, you're constantly recreating the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Now, I also want you to go to that hospital or wherever he was.
Yeah.
And I want you to clean that out until it's nothing but pure light. I want you to see him. Any personnel that was there, yourself, and just let that dissipate into the light. Or maybe it'll go into the dirt. That's fine, too. It's about 25 little soul pieces you have holding that together. How are you feeling?
Better. I feel like I can see a lot of light around him and everybody else and in the hospital room and the priest and the last rites. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just keep, there will be a few other little parts, but I think you're over most of it. And just keep redoing it and keep doing it. And one day you'll know that no longer exists. I resolved it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Happy Earth Day.
Okay, bye-bye. 805. Hello?
Sherry?
Yes?
Hi, this is Katie.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What a beautiful call. And your work with Colleen was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So cool. I would like to work on something I learned from a friend who's an amazing nutritionist last week. I was telling her that I wanted to be more forthright and simple in my communication, and that through fear of speaking, sometimes I would repeat myself or get wordy just because of feeling frightened from within. And she said, she's known me for many, many years, and she said, Katie, you're like, she said, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you're like a quadrilingual person, and speaking is not your first language. So that was so helpful to me on the sense that how I complicate things and then wonder why I work so hard to get something across and still it's not being understood. It's because I get that trauma set up of getting nervous about speaking in the first place. And then, so I really want to undo that. I want to undo, I want to just report the details and say things simply and be able to express myself from the core with no embellishment, just be accurate.
That's when the quadra, she said it was a quadra, so you can say that you have a skill in knowing that transcends language. And because that is your first skill, you want that on the playing field first, and you want to speak from that place, not the way many other people speak. So that means like a certain sacred readiness, as you were talking about before you speak. Let's go into that.
Okay.
So this fear of speaking. So this is a fear of being known for the powerful person you are, because it gets beat up, or it has been. So let's go and remove that pattern. Now, the part of you that wants to fill in that pattern or where that pattern was is very light and floral. It reminds me of wildflowers. And it's really quite beautiful. So another way you can do this, I mean, you can see what it is for any particular speak that you might need to give or speech you might need to give. But you can kind of see as you give an energy packet to someone, and the language is part of it. That energy packet could be a daisy, it could be a flower, it could be a marigold, it could be, you know, color, and just however you connect. Like you get the energetic essence of it, and then you let the language fill it out. Does that make sense? You're letting that part of you lead.
Let the daisy or the flower or the essence lead, right?
Yes, and get the language from that part. You know, let it reveal itself to you rather than seeking through your brain, you know, because that would be a part of you that mimicked how other people speak. And a lot of people just talk off the top of their head. They're not really that connected. And what you're wanting to do is speak your deep inner truth. And so, and as a way, you're revealing your identity to the world. And so for you, it's a more sacred act. And I would say you have many, many lifetimes of where every single word was extraordinarily important. And if it wasn't said just right, you know, there could be big consequences. And maybe not in sort of mundane punishment, you know, humans given human. But like worlds would fall if the word was not said exactly right. The vibration being sent out was incorrect. So I would say like a universal type keeper energy that you knew voice and sound were extraordinarily important elements. So let's go ahead and lighten up some of the heaviness of that part of yourself, which still exists. But you don't want it to interfere in case you just want to talk about lattes with somebody.
Okay. Yeah.
or which cupcake looks the best. Okay. Let that go. And this is kind of the feeling I'm getting. You know, have the mundane conversations that are light and fun for you. And then also have the sacred. But let the sacred not be so serious that you're not able to get to it. And that's like a judgment, the serious kind of thing. So let's go through really ancient, serious patterns, and some of those can dissolve.
Great. I'm feeling a lot of emotion here.
Okay. What's coming up?
Just the, sort of the burden or the weightiness of it all, and the
mm-hmm.
and just taking myself off to a sort of a corner and hiding so that I don't get misconstrued because of that seriousness coming out when I just want to be loving and playful and assured and get things communicated. So I'll take myself out of the loop.
Right. So that's like an extreme self-consciousness. And I want to move that into equanimity. So all the places you're attached to needing to get out of the way so no one would get harmed, including yourself. And it could go
right.
either way. You know, like mm-hmm. the words, if they were not right, people would be harmed. Or the... you know, people would harm you if you revealed yourself. So you got both ends of this polarity here. So let's go ahead and make that vertical into the equanimity. You have a very beautiful equanimity. Sometimes you forget to use it. It's very vibrant. And the more I look at this, Katie, I think that's where you're going with this. You know, like that sacred thing I'm talking about, just go into that place of equanimity.
Okay.
And then, and you know, it could be that there's a daisy or something, but there also could be just the field of equanimity expanding. So I think you've done a lot of clearing. So I am feeling this nauseous, poisoned kind of gut feeling in you. And let's release that.
Yeah, I've had that. This is so helpful.
So I'm still watching this leave, and we need this to fill up with your own female sassiness. I don't have another good word for it. We'll just let that to come in, your own feeling of identity. I also want to take out a whole lot of patterns where the word sacred was way too serious.
Mm-hmm.
You might have some fun with irreverent type sacred humor or something for a little while.
Okay.
You know, the sacred irreverent. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's another pattern just moving right out. This is like a hyper-masculine, spiritual, we've got to follow all the rules, blah, blah, blah. Let's just let that go. We could call it a patriarchal kind of pattern of control, superimposed on a feminine spirit. Oh. How are you doing?
That was a big one, that last one.
It really was. So that was like a disassemble kind of thing. So you're going to be coming back together. So there's like a whole lot of little pieces that, you know, coming out now. You're reforming. Here we go. It's a different way to work, but it's getting in a place that we all need to get to. Clearing. Okay, so I feel compelled to say this. Some of the issues with money are when the innocent part of you gave up your sovereign right and understanding of it to a patriarchal system. So I want you to return that innocence to yourself.
I was just thinking about that this morning. This is so important.
Mm-hmm. And it is true. What's come up for people in the last few months, that's going to be your work. That's the stuff. Now, I don't say the word work in the meaning of this is going to be hard and difficult. It will have depth. But you've done a lot of it, so most of it's just cleaning up. So I'm going to stay with you a little bit longer, Katie, as that clears. And I'll touch up everybody at the end because everyone's going to be doing lots of clearing. We're in good shape for this. It's kind of beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have a Swedish web call.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Thank you for a beautiful call.
You're welcome.
I think I need a clearing on being afraid of being left behind. It's like I think everybody else in this group can succeed in what we're doing, but maybe not me. And I will feel left behind and be a disappointment to myself.
Okay. Tell me about that more.
It's like a fear, and I've been thinking about it for the last few days, and I've also been dreaming about not finding my way.
Okay. Let's go back to your equanimity. Restore the innocence to the equanimity. I'm seeing this pretty clear for you. All right, so I want the innocence to be like, you know how we see the core. Yours is going right into, I guess everyone's is going right into the core now. We'll strengthen the innocence. It almost looks like a staff. You know, in Bible movies, Moses always had the staff. So your secret staff is going to be the equanimity, which is like a turquoise at the top, maybe a gold cap on it, and then this beautiful, innocent flow under. You know, that's your return. That's your inner guidance system. Now I want to go to this part of you that feels fear that you are being left behind or abandoned. I want to say that around this feeling, there's quite a bit of energy of self-destruction or self, like blowing yourself up. So I'm going to go into this energy. I'm going to collapse all that came around it. And we're going to bring in this part that feels like it was abandoned. So when we have certain patterns, players come in. You know, we attract people and entities or energies that come in to play the game with us that we've done. So I'm just clearing some of this. We'll just clear some of that away. Here we go. I want you to bring that light of yourself that has experienced the fear and separation back into that inner staff of light. I think we went a long way in this call. Because you're the first one where this showed up, where we're going, where you have the equanimity and then you have that staff of innocence right there, right in your core.
It's like I'm afraid of trying because I don't want to get disappointed if I don't succeed.
Mm-hmm. That's like a collapsed energy, like a exhausted, I'm just not even going to do it because it's just not going to work. And that was a common theme that came up in the cycle. And I'm just going to applaud you for getting on a call and talking. And we really appreciate your input. And we all love you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to bring in this part that felt collapsed. Speaking to someone last week that she felt collapsed around potato chips, she had no control. So this is, it could be many, many things we collapse around. It could be around our career, our self-love, our self-nurturing. For you, the essence, the core, is that self-nurturing. So let's get in this part that felt collapsed. Let it come in to that, you know, that staff of light I was talking about on the inner. And then I just want that to expand into nurturing. So when we come from a torturous background, we don't know how to self-nurture. We are so compelled to move to the pattern of someone else torturing us, and that feels like love, that we have lost that ability that we have to restore for self-nurturing. So it's coming in. And again, I want you to just see it seep through all the cells of your body and all the in-between spaces of your body, the quantum field of your body, the molecular structure, and the mitochondria of your body. The atoms and the water. So being able to go to this place is the discipline. So when you feel that, at any time, just I want you to go back to the self-nurturing. How are you feeling now?
A bit sad, but yeah,
okay.
Sad.
Oh. So what's under that sadness? Let's love the sadness. Annihilated, left out. Let's love that. This is a different level of that energy we were clearing before.
I feel strength.
Good. Now, this is really important. I want you to feel this wave of nurturing, the self love, self-care coming through. Now, this is not indulgence. Sometimes we get those concepts very confused, but we want the self-care, this wellness, this well-being, just to move. And then there's several other patterns of going out to the outer to repeat the pattern. We're letting that go. I feel that resistance, and that resistance is to another that you took on their resistant pattern to their own self-care. They projected it into not caring for you. Go ahead and let that pattern go. Filling it up. How are you feeling now?
A bit shaky.
Okay, so that means something bigger is coming out and shifting. So for you and everyone else on the call, whoever got the message that it's wrong or you're not allowed to take care of yourself and that there's something wrong with that desire. So restore this all the way. Good. How are you feeling?
Better.
Good, good. Now, for everyone on the call, I think almost everyone is part of our subscription program as well as these calls. You have the best rate possible for sessions, and I want everyone, not just you, Anna Karin, I want everyone to get in the best place you can. If that means adding a little more meditation or self-care in nature, whatever it takes, in the next 6 weeks. This is going to be important, setting the stage for what's going on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, Sherry. It's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
I remember your note. Let me go back to your note. Is that what you're going to talk to me about?
Well, yes and no, we can. I was just going to say that I just resonated so much with what you said on the call and then the previous callers. Each of them I felt was like literally I just felt part of it. It resonated. They all resonated so deeply with me.
I know we got the group going when that's the case. So anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
But just on my note, I had just brought up about my dad because I had been thinking about him. He passed away a little
mm-hmm.
over 2 years ago, and he didn't know this was going to be about, you know, ancestral stuff this week. And so anyways, but just in this last week, it's come up how much he – I'm just sort of now starting to miss him because I had to deal with my stepmom who was really horrible.
Right.
And still dealing with her. That's a whole other thing. We have our own past life issues. So that was sort of what my note was about because that's what I was thinking. And your post on Facebook about the Aries Venus retrograde, the last one of our lifetime, I'm glad that it's done because this last week is the first time I've actually slept for more than 4 hours at night in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And I actually had a day on, Thursday and Friday, the closest thing to what I used to have as a normal life back about a decade or so ago. And so I just have a lot of different things. My best friend got in contact with me again this week. You know, I've been thinking about my dad, really resonated with the cruelty thing, and then the girl saying how she gets uncomfortable about talking. I'm nauseous every time before a call because I don't think I'm going to be able to speak well to you or I'm going to, you know, sound dumb. So, a variety of stuff. So,
well, it's a pretty safe space, but I want to go to this part of you that felt really exhausted when you were talking. We're going to start with this about your stepmom. I'm trying to remember the exact word you said, but the energy of it was exhausting. Just exhausting.
Well, it's exhausting, but she was cruel. I mean, she was beyond cruel to me. Like, within an hour of my dad dying, she was yelling at me in the hospice because my mom, who was there for me, was then praying for him because he had died, praying for his soul to go in peace, and she's screaming at me in the hall. And I just walked in and seen my dad. That was like the beginning of it. And we had a great relationship before. And I just got his estate is still doing, and he had no money to have an estate. And it's just a lot of different things. So
I'm in that exhausted place right now. And I want to, let's go to that same staff we used with Anna Karin, because that's just perfect for you. Where we have the equanimity at the top, and we have that innocence below. So we've gotten everything in a nice alignment. And I'd like to invite in all the pieces of your light or innocence that are still attached to that getting screamed at the same time. You're in that deep, deep space at the passing of your father. Yeah. Where you had to like go into self-protection and figuring it all out instead of just allowing that grief to move.
Yeah. And she went after my mom too, so it was like double protection,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a PTSD, like you're, and I think this is kind of a familiar pattern for many of us, like you're in a war, you just lost your best friend, but you can't even think about that because all these bombs keep coming in. But when you're talking about a family member, it never ends because that vibrates so deep. So it can be a different level of pain. So all the parts of yourself that still remember and that are resentful and upset at her, let's go ahead and love those and let that innocence just kind of go to where we attach to those moments.
This is a hard one for me. I very much don't. My conscience is like, I don't want to do it. I feel like a little kid, but I'm willing to say, okay.
Well, you don't want to do it because your power was hanging on to the resentment and the pissed off feeling that you didn't want to admit that you had. And so that sometimes that is a way that we hold on to power and it becomes like a poison. So let's go ahead and bring that in. And then when you're talking about someone who's a little crazy, it's and she was definitely a little crazy at that moment, if not a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and you're doing it. So even though you don't want to, you're doing it.
Yes, I feel it, yes.
Resentment is something that we often come up with, and I know this through my own personal experience, as self-protection. And it's like, you know, it's like that line of, you're that, but I'm this, and I know it's wrong, but I can't do anything about it. So holding myself in resentment is a great way to handle it. But it becomes a poison, so just go ahead and just love that part of you that didn't know what else to do.
Right.
I also want to say that I have heard so many stories in the last few years of very amazing men who passed with craziness all around them. It's like their passing was so devastating that people just went a little bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the last thing he would have wanted to.
And that is absolutely right. It's like completely the opposite of what he represented in life.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're having an awful lot of integration. It's coming from all places, but it's kind of coming through this field. So we're just going to allow this, want your attention to be right on that that inner staff we were talking about and just allowing this energy to come in. Okay. All right. Now the part of you, so you have the resentment part, but then you have a part of you that hangs on to the personality energy cycle, which is like holding on to like, it would be the same process that people hold on to entities. I want you to go to that innocence and go to that point. It's almost like you're going to bend reality. I want you to go to that point and I want you to pull back where you had that creation with it and just let the other go.
Okay.
And I feel this energy of like her words vibrating all around you, like these little patterns of the words and the nastiness in the language. I want you to go through your whole body and remove all those patterns where they're existing and holding.
Okay.
And the next thing I want you to do is go to like a sacred place with your father so you can grieve the way that you need to grieve for his passing without the interference of all of this. Now, the interference of all of this also have its own story in his passing. You know, we talked about what he represented was just the opposite of what happened when he passed. There's some part of his energy that held the field in a certain way that everybody had to deal with in the void. And so that also has a lot of material for you, but it's all good. Now, I'm going to say this. How much of your dad do you deny in yourself?
Oh, probably a lot. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing how much of his patterns are just so ingrained and imprinted on me in ways I never knew. Like, I never realized I had anger issues, and my dad did. And so, like, a lot of how I present my anger and my emotions, and, you know, he was an alcoholic, and I have the addiction issues. And anyway, so there's a lot, to put it mildly.
Okay. So we have that. And so you said he had this anger thing, and then you got this angry outburst from your stepmom, who's probably infected with his pattern as well, hitting her pattern and just kind of lost it. So we have, let's kind of break this down. Let's look at the sacred pattern that you inherited from your father, because there was a sacredness there too. Yes.
Oh yeah. He was. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I just touched on it briefly, but sometimes an ancestry, it's like everything's really clear all those generations back, but everyone sweeps forward the stuff and everybody's stuff is just right there. So he has a sacredness. So let's go ahead and the part of you, I want you to, let's hold on to that sacredness, this place that you hold him. And then I also want you to see around the sacredness, all the stuff you said, the anger, the alcoholism, I mean, all this stuff. We have all that around. So that's a denial of feeling, usually. So some part of him that had to separate out to create this very wise, sacred space and was also in denial, correct?
Right. Well, he was a Jesuit, an Episcopal priest, and helped thousands and thousands of people. And yet, you know, he couldn't have an honest conversation with me, his only child, you know.
Okay, again, there's another level of resentment, and under that is a great deal of grief.
Right.
And the resentment is one of the things your father also used as a way to hold back his own feelings. Mm. All right, so you're using resentment like a fence.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so let's go ahead and just clear and allow that love. So your work is going to be to get all of that innocent parts and go through that authentic heart protocol where you're just loving all the way back till it integrates into you. And I think you've done enough work where it might be intense and it might be, oh God, I got to do that work again. But once you get to the other side, you're going to get into that innocent little child, fun, restored piece of your life. And the burden that you are carrying, so I know you've got the stepmother burden, but you're also carrying a great deal of father burden that you're not able to actually get to because the stepmother burden is there and it's easier to deal with. Because anything you can put resentment on is easier than getting into the depth. However, the depth is where we really, really heal. And we're kind of conditioned as people in a patriarchal world to not do that or to think that, you know, that doesn't have value or we might get stuck there or whatever. Right. But it's when we do that that we're able to really, really heal the splits that we carry. So there's a big pattern of splitting the personality. And I don't mean that, like, you know, what's You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you mean. I think I do anyway. Yeah.
We're moving that out right now. That pattern is going out right now. That came from your dad. So, and let's take this further in the collective. What is that? What makes people do that? That is judgment. I have my good parts, and I'm going to deny my bad parts and carry on.
Yeah.
All right? So, because he's so into his own self-judgment, he's not able to love himself completely. But he did a lot of practice in this life with those thousands of people he helped. Just wasn't able to bring it into his own life. Okay, right. There we go. There you go. You're getting it. Okay, so you have a few qualities your father does not have. And those are really good qualities. And they are the ones that have, I want to tell you about the skill because you may not realize you have it. You have an adept part of you at integration. I see it. I mean, I can feel it right around you. You know where it is. The more we talk, the more it's showing up. It's very adept. It knows how to do that. It can completely recreate this field as you move out this energy from your father in the way that he used. And he wouldn't want you to carry it. It didn't really work that well for his life. You can have the wisdom and all the amazing things that he had in your own light field. Hear that? Here's that. It's coming right now. I couldn't stop it if I wanted. Here it comes. Okay, so you're well on your way.
So did you say, let me just, I'm adept at, what did the word?
Integration.
Integration? Okay.
Let me say what that is for you. That's calling this very, very refined light back to yourself. You could say that one of the roles you played was to pretending you're not who you were.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So as that skill comes up, as that rises, that's your rising. Everyone's in a rising. What are you rising to? And you are rising to that adept part that knows your own unique light signature. It's very beautiful. I mean, can you feel it? I'm just getting full body rushes. Go ahead. I want you to tap into it. I want you to go there. Let all this, you know, the way you see all this through that lens into this lens. Okay. Now that is going to make all this other stuff we talked about that you're going to do easier.
Okay.
You're doing great.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for the call. Boy, a lot of pictures and feelings all came up, and as we're moving through the call, I was kind of piecing them together to get to a deeper level of what, you know, the whole essence was. I'll just kind of go through that. You started and I couldn't even keep attention because I felt frustration from controlling people, you know, in my life, controlling me. And I couldn't even keep attention to the meditation. And that was coming. I was just like, oh my God. And then it went to, I got into it and I started sensing and feeling things. And then it went to, my father being abusive, physically through discipline, but very physically abusive to me and verbally. And then it went to, my mother who, I have a twin brother and she was holding me and she's overwhelmed because she's taking care of both of us. So I didn't feel that full sense of nurturing and love at times, I guess, but that came up. And then it went to my relationships of kind of what we've been working on, that it's hard to find people or women that would fully love me, you know, in this way that I'm addicted to these types of women. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that came up was I'm not lovable. You know, I've got feelings, intense feelings. So I've been working and clearing as much as I can while we were going through this, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure where I'm at with all that, Sherry.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of this. So let's go to the pattern that you absorbed from the abusive father, where being your loving self wasn't good enough for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get in. He had his own projected idea of what his boys were supposed to be. And anything different than that, he didn't know what to do with. Okay, so let's go ahead and just relieve you of that pattern. And what fills the space behind that pattern is very similar to our last caller, this very adept part that knows a little bit about integration. You know it a little differently. It's in a little different frequency, but it actually does know about self-love and self-nurturing. You're just kind of in a pattern of not being able to recognize it because the innocent part of you was wounded by your father's abuse and by your mother limited capacity with two twins, you know, two boys. So let's go and just restore that innocence to both of those patterns. Now, the one of the mother is a bit of a heartbreak. You don't get the full attention. That part of you that just couldn't get everything you needed. But you knew at a very early age. So that's interesting. So some people don't really know it. So you've already leaped to that consciousness of knowing this isn't the full love of nurturing, you know, that I require. This isn't enough. So you have this feeling that what you're getting from the parental world is not enough, and you are wrong. You are wrong. Who you are is not enough. So let's go into this innocent part that we were taught, that we've just gotten to today, this innocent part that knows how to self-nurture and self-love. Let's see if we can get more activation of that. I want to talk to that part as well, which is timeless. And I want to go to that part and just say, you know, we're going to do a different program now. We're going to feel this from the inside so we attract it on the outside. We're collapsing all the energy around it. And then I want to go to the little boy within that is sort of blinded to the fact that it's never going to get it different from your mom or your father. It's still seeking it from that source. But that well, you know, is dry in this case. You could get other things from them, but not this. So let's go ahead and I want you to bring that part back so that you can take that energy and use it in this self-nurturing system. And I'm seeing quite a few phases here. It's like, I know the truth, but I'm not quite, but my definition of love is such that my quest is to get it from these empty sources that don't actually have it. And so the truth of your quest is really to feel it from within. And when that happens, the reflection is going to be attracting somebody who loves you like crazy. I guarantee you, Dan, there's so many women that will love you like crazy. There's so many women in choices. It's just that you're not, that program is really wanting it from somebody who can't give it, because that would solve your problem and that would mean you're truly, truly worthy, that you're truly who that person wanted. I want you to go back and I want you to feel.
I feel a lot of sadness.
Yeah, you have a lot of resistance to letting this grief finish. And I understand that. We don't live in a society that thinks it's, you know, worthwhile to finish a grief. But grief is a journey that's highly personal, and everyone does it in their own time and space. And we're so busy trying to save ourselves with our light work or this or that, or trying to live up to some idea, that we don't go into that complete grief. We don't finish it. And when we do finish it, we're able to come on the outside, because within that grief is a part of you that still isn't being heard. And that part is like, I'm just like lost in the muck of the grief. So I'll go ahead and let's go ahead and start bringing that out, which will probably activate the grief. It's time. It's really time just to feel what you're feeling. And it's not necessarily a strength to stop an emotion that has not completed. It's, you know, we all learn how to not cry in school or not cry here or this. And, you know, the Tom Hanks saying there's no crying in baseball. But there is this deep, deep feeling that has to be acknowledged. And it's almost like the body is part in and part out. And it's like any other motion. It must complete in order to come back. It must complete in order to restore. And the pain and the depth just depend on how much resistance we give it. It's completely possible to feel deeply for a very short period of time. But let's take it out of the continuum and go into how much grief you're holding. And now some of this grief is your mother's grief and your father's grief. It may have come at you through a different emotion, but let's turn that inside out and just kind of let that go. The soul knows the quest completely. And I guarantee in that grief, there is light that's moving up. So just, we were talking about this, I think in the Facebook. It's like you can have like a shard of grief or a shard of pain or a pattern within you. You don't even feel it. But then the soul starts moving towards its resolution. The symptoms come up. The physical symptoms, the emotional symptoms, the pattern in the outer starts getting stronger. Someone who always loved you or could have been now is betraying you. I mean, the whole pattern starts playing out. It's this little shard of the pattern is beginning to move. Now, yours has been, we've worked enough on it, so that's no longer what it looks like. But what it does look like is the well has not, is still being rejected. That well or that wealth of strength has not been completely accepted, and it is because you felt like you were not accepted from the parents. So you're not able to see to the other side of this. The part of you that is going to disengage from your parents can't actually imagine that disengagement. It is so attached to staying in those two places. And that's what showed up for you today in the call, the part that still isn't ready to quite let go. So if you'll just call those back, you can take it through the heart if you'd like.
All right.
A little lost, a little confused. and it's kind of frozen in emotion. And just as your mother could not love the boy sitting on her lap, I was trying to love a boy that maybe wasn't on her lap. I think that's what you were saying. But it's sort of like this, you know, they couldn't quite do it. And the father that couldn't quite appreciate the boy, that's the pattern you absorbed in how you treat yourself. Those parts of you are not able to love the part of yourself that's there. So I need you to transcend their limitations and love the part of you that no one could. And that's a muscle you haven't used, right? And that's why these things become, you know, they're a little messier, because we don't even know how to strengthen that muscle because it's never been loved before. Okay. Here we go. In your case, you have a history of the love of it, but you're kind of in the shock of when it didn't feel appreciated this time. Here you go. All right, so your integration is on the way. How's the grief part?
Yeah, I felt the, as you were talking, I would drop into it, and it was very powerful. And then you said about my mom being able to turn that inside out, and then things subsided, because it was mm-hmm. almost as if I was feeling everybody's grief, right? And then I wasn't.
Right.
It mm-hmm. was my own. And then I allowed myself to just, I felt at times, Sherry, the desire to feel it, stop me from feeling it, right? You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
instead of letting go and just dropping into it, that's when I really set myself in there. So,
good.
You know, I can feel a little, it's not as heavy as when we started, but I can feel like this energy kind of welling up.
It's easier,
you know, that I can...
it's easier when we're not carrying theirs, but there is a gift in your in feeling your own. And some of it is recognizing how attached you were to those patterns, how really attached you were. And a lot of things kind of seal us into that. But as we give that space where we don't have to be as attached to it, the resolve begins. There you go.
Okay. And so, yeah, the attachment was creating the grief. Is that right?
Yes.
Am I right?
The attachment is definitely part, it's certainly part of the pain. Now, the grief might be something more, but I think a lot of the energy around it goes. I'm not trying to save you from your grief, but I think it might be easier to just fall into it in that way that we can, you know, with higher consciousness, we can just, you know, feel what we need to feel. Just feel what you need to feel. Because that in itself
yeah.
is a gift. There's still a gift under there. I still feel a gift. All right, so it's starting to show up now, so let's see if this will... Okay, so it's all right, so it's like a little broken part of your system. So that's under all this grief. So I'm going to bring that in. I'm just going to do this work really quickly for you. But I want you to just kind of today, this weekend, you really want to be with your feelings. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, close the door and put, you know, black curtains all around or anything. It just means you just want to be with what is there, be with what is real. And that's the resolution to it. There are resistances that you have to it that you haven't really identified yet, but you will. And part of it is identity, you know, like it's part of the story. And as that identity, you know, begins to shift into this other consciousness, it'll easily restore. Because this is kind of an odd thing to say to you, but it's like you already finished 90% of it, but you're making the 10% of it that hasn't been finished be the part of all the emphasis. And so so it kind of unbalances you and you're not able to move on. You're sort of like that part has not come in yet. And so that part that isn't, that's kind of in that one part of it that feels a little, that feels quite stuck and unfinished and incomplete, that part we want to love. Keep loving that part. Can you feel that?
Yes. Oh, I mean, it makes so much sense. Yes, I can feel it, the part that feels stuck, you know, that always, yes, I can feel it.
Yeah. So now, so I'm going to give you a few other things. I want you to feel what you feel, but you can also talk to it, like in the, so it's like many things in this type of work. Sometimes it's so much more easily resolved than we think. The more we get the mind in it, the more we get our blame in it and the attention that our parents gave it in a certain way, we color it with that. And then that just stops the resolution. I think it's going to be much faster than it feels. But anyway, let us know how it goes, Dan.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Sherry. Sherry, is this a good time to do a session with you or should I wait a few days? Okay.
I definitely give it a day and just kind of see how far you can take it. Because there's a lot of energy today. And so a lot of it is, you know, I just want you to keep using the tools. So at least give it a day and just see what happens. See how this restores. Because a lot of it's in place. It's just that you're looking in the wrong place. You know, so that so get the equanimity going. Let's go ahead and give you an equanimity upgrade. And love the part that's seeking, too. Add that to your list. There you go. Okay. You're in a good space. You don't know it yet, but you are. So, yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
Sherry. Hi, it's Kate.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Hi. I am so grateful to talk to you. I am doing so much better. I mean, I've been traveling in Florida and just meeting amazing new friends and just, you know, beautiful new friendships. And I would love help on connecting with, like, that inner power and force. Like, I was just working with a martial arts person about trying to connect with the inner power and strength and force. And when I think of power, or in the past when I thought of power, I would think of it in a negative way when I think of like stepfather or father or abusive people, like abusive men. So I would love help kind of reprogramming my energy and body to not feel like power and force and all that are negative words. You know,
right.
To use it as divine life force instead of, you know, when I think of the word force, it like makes me like almost break myself instead of feeling like that power could be inside or is inside of me. Like it's, I've been working on kind of strengthening my back and trying to feel that, like you said, when I talk, sometimes I go into like a nervous pattern where I give my, you know, energy. So instead of holding, like I love helping holding my power and forces and being able to direct them instead of, I'm not sure I'm explaining it well, but anything that you see sort of in my energy that's ready to be healed along that would be wonderful.
All right. So I want to put that, use that staff that we worked with. So I want to see the equanimity. So in my mind's eye, it's kind of a turquoise colors within the crown, the third eye, down to the heart. And then the innocent staff that we came up with. So we have your core, which has always been that part of empowerment that we talk about. But let's go ahead and allow that innocence to also be there, because that's another big place of empowerment. Good.
The innocence is part of empowerment.
Yes, because
I think
imagine if you don't have that. because, you know, it's self-nurturing. You know, you don't get very far in the feminine world without self-nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, and what are illnesses, a lot of that is us, our inability to nurture these parts of ourselves that we gave up to a narcissistic personality or something else. So let's go into all the places that you avoid your own power because you saw other people misuse it. And let's remove those patterns. Good. So some part of you questioned it. Some part of you decided not to participate in power. Let's go ahead and bring those parts back so you can feel your own life force. And use the mana. Good. Good. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this. In you know, the Hawaiian culture, you know, we have the mother energy. And the mother is one of the most feminine places on the planet. Hawaii truly is one of the most feminine places you can be. But there is the way that that culture has seen the feminine energy. And it's the mind. That they think it is the mind. And the mind is what is in between taking care of the body and the spirit, which is what they consider more masculine. And the mind in equanimity does take care of that. So you could call it like an upgraded ego. In our culture, we've gotten to where ego is so bad, it's something we have to get rid of or stomp out or kill. But in other cultures, the mind is something that is not that. The mind is something that self-nurtures. And if you think about an ego out of control or a really narcissistic personality, they're just taking care of themselves in this really dysfunctional way. So if you're talking about the light, you're talking about the divine feminine as part of equanimity, which could be the upgraded ego. Now, I'm not saying that everyone suddenly will get rid of every dysfunctional personality pattern that keeps us from the light or taking care of ourselves. Or by doing that, our narcissistic personality will suddenly turn around in a moment. But I'm saying in your evolution, in everyone's evolution, self-nurturing in this way is important. And it's part of resilience. How are you feeling?
Good. And the self-nurturing, really, that's something that I'm also trying to work on is that spending the money to take care of myself and for nutrients and for, you know, that. Like, we worked a little bit on the last call about me wanting to help all the other children of the world but not my own inner child and feeling deserving of being able to take care of myself and look at health stuff and things like that. So that's
right.
Also trying to
and here I want to remind you of another pattern that you have. And so that self-nurturing you can do in very simple ways, and sometimes it doesn't take a lot of money to do it. So sometimes we throw money at something hoping that will take care of it. And I want to say, I'm saying this to everyone in the group too, Kate. Money as something you throw something out and hoping it will fix, is that whole pattern is leaving. That's not going to be effective. So it's not that you shouldn't spend money, but, you know, there is that you want to go to your equanimical, that place that's in balance for your financial choices.
Mm.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I went through my life savings twice trying to get myself well. So I know, I really do know how easy that is to let's give this money and hope, right? But you want to mature that to where the self-nurturing flow makes the choice of what happens to you next.
Because the other part of me is I'm really worried about the taxes and all this kind of financial stuff, like the houses or rentals and like a rental I had set up fell through. So I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to be upset. I just realized something else greater or better will come. And I'm trying to just be calm and not go into the stress state that I'm used to. But I do feel like a little I don't know, just the overwhelm of everything I have to do and balancing that with the self-nurturing. You know,
right.
It feels like I just want to do, you know, enjoy meeting new people and enjoying my time here in Florida, but it's like I have to balance that with this huge overwhelm of just so much crap to still deal with.
Right, right. Well, you want to make those choices not from the I have to deal with the crap, but from the self-nurturing point of view.
How do I do that? How do I make the choices or that? I mean, how do I, like, someone said, like, think of each, you know, thing that you have to deal with as a way to, like, you know, be in your core and connect with your spirit and things. But it's like, I still look at it like overwhelm. And I go into this, oh, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. But I said, I need to shift that perspective.
The overwhelm, okay. I'm going to take you deeper. The overwhelm, some of that overwhelm comes from someone superimposing their will on you, or using your own will got you worse off. And so it sort of taught you that that's what it is. So I want to remove that pattern. And now we want to reinforce equanimity. So you can have equanimity and not use it. So I need you to go into, I want you to kind of see behind your eyes. And above your head, just a few inches. Connect in. I'm going to strengthen your body, mind, and spirit to the equanimity of your force field. There we go. Okay, and all the parts questioning it going, what the heck's going on? Let's just quiet and calm. So, Kate, the decisions you make from this place will, they may not all be perfect, but they're going to be moving towards the right choices for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's like clear overwhelm and go deal with the crap, that's not going to get you the same outcome. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So go there first. It was nice to talk to you today.
Oh, it was so nice. And what I've been having really trouble sleeping. Like, I'll wake up and I'm so exhausted, but I can't get back to sleep. Is that just from everything?
There is a lot of stuff going on like that. Someone else mentioned it. I've had a lot of people on sessions tell me what happened to sleep. And so I think that will calm down. It is part of the cycle. I'll see if we can
okay.
do something a little more restorative later. But for anyone who got sick, thank you, Kate. Anyone who got sick during this last cycle, or, you know, you felt this like rush of autoimmune symptoms, it's okay to take things that make you feel a little better. If you're not able to kind of get to that place to bring in the, you know, the aminos or whatever you might need.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I've had so many questions. I keep changing my mind as each new thing comes up, and I'd sort of like to know that what I've been madly clearing is actually cleared, because each topic, each person you've spoken to, has resonated so much, and I'm actually feeling fairly spinny. But I'd just like to know that, well, the cruelty thing is cleared, and the traumatic bonds and sort of still getting handled on.
We definitely went in there and began. I'm going to tell you how your field looks right now. A little shaky, like it's vibrating at a lower level because you're expecting it to be there. I want you to put your attention on the equanimity again and let the innocence fall around it. So remember I said there would be like a detox that we have to do. So let's just go ahead and let the water come in and detox a bit. Because we're getting into places we haven't been before. Go ahead, say this. Say what you're saying.
I'm just wondering if I'm clear about what innocence actually is, what it feels like.
Do you remember, did you have tell me about one moment in your childhood that was amazing. Do you have that feeling? Can you get to that feeling?
I think I just got it then.
There you go. There, I see it. Okay, so let's expand that. Expand that really big. I do know people who do not have any amazing moments they remember. Just imagine one. There you go. You've got a good one. Okay. So do you see how that completely began to settle your field? Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where you are. So I want to give you the tool. So we want to all kind of collectively kind of heal and move through and go as our evolution, because we are evolving in our ability to discern, to move through, to be intuitive. So as we clear that, I want you to be able to self-care quicker, which means, you know, as these things come up, you're able to just get to it a little faster. So I want you to go to that innocent place first. And Dan, if you're still on the call, do that for yourself. Can I get there? There we go. In this moment, you feel very clear. Sometimes, and this is true, this is a truth, sometimes before you release something else, I'm not saying I see something for you, by the way, I'm just talking to everyone, we feel amazing, and then the thing that will help us get to that more amazing all the time feeling that needs to release will show up. So kind of track it for yourself. You feel amazing, and then suddenly you're not amazing, and then you're into a big clearing. And that's kind of the divine flow of things. Let's show you where you're going, and let's see if we can get there more often. Because usually some part of our soul says, hey, I like this. How can I be here more often? And the soul says, well, you know, if we got rid of this, if we shifted this, you would be. And then that's how the cycle often begins. But I feel that you've done pretty well. You kind of went off of again. Go back to the childhood. That childhood thing is pretty smart. It was a pretty smart cookie. She had an intuition about her. I want to connect that with the equanimity. Good. How are you?
Well, I'm just, my concern when you were, I think I've been very intuitive because of, you know, high need for survival. But mm-hmm. I've also felt as though I've been walking a tightrope.
Do you feel
so
that
much
now?
Well, no, it doesn't feel so clear, but I just do want to clear any parts that might still be engaged in that, because it requires so much kind of energy focus, you know, mm-hmm. not being too right, too wrong, or, you know, getting it right all the time as regards to what, to the external, what's right, instead of an internal, what's right for me.
Okay, so are you talking about like a lot of self-judgment?
Well, mainly playing by everyone else's rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play by my own rules.
Yes, so why does that happen?
I just want to clear all that, so I'm not still hooked into it.
When was the last time you played by somebody else's rules?
Probably 10 minutes ago.
Okay, well, let's go find that pattern 10 minutes ago where you were playing by someone else's rules. And let's remove that. I see it. And let's go back to the equanimity. And as that pattern leaves, I don't want to just, you know, I want it dissolved. And it's like a fear, you know, like as someone putting their will on top of your own, because they feel powerless. So making you feel powerless is the way they can feel more empowered and controlled, because they truly under it all feel out of control. Does that sound about right?
Very much, yes.
Okay. So so that's just a funny game, yeah? That's everyone pretending. So let's have a little laugh about that and go back to your equanimity. Now, I want to say something else to this. Just because you might fall back into it, the key is not how often you fall off, but how you go back. So the more you go back, the less you'll fall off. It's how long you stay off once you fall off the bicycle, so to speak. You fall off and you sit there and you check your knee and you look around and, you know, you pick up the bike, but you don't quite get up back on it. You maybe walk with the bike or look and see whatever everyone else is doing by the bike. But you want to get back on your bike, which in this way, what we're talking about is back in your core, knowing your own empowerment. There you go. You just fell back on. You're good. You're good. So that's the muscle I want you to just play with. Oh, I fell off. Without judging yourself.
Yeah.
Just,
actually,
it's
the question,
just a flow. It's like dancing. Go ahead.
Well, one thing that I sort of would like to keep reminding myself of is what am I rising to? Not what am I trying to clear or work out or whatever, but what am I rising to?
And do you know what it is?
No, no idea.
You are, energetically, it is your own inner authority. Because it's got plans that you haven't been able to put in emotion because everybody else's takes precedent.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are pretty cool plans.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you've got them in kind of like a deep feminine place. And so you'll want to go into that well and spend some time with it to get them out. But the more you stay with it, and it's not a judgy thing. It's if you're not there, you go back. You go, if you're not, oh, I'm not centered, I'm going to go back. Oh, I gave my power away. Oh, how funny, I'm going back. I want you to start laughing about this rather than judging.
Yep.
Okay, because that holds you back. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
You're welcome.
Oh, Sherry, it's Vicki calling.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey. Oh, this is, wow, what a call. It's so deep and it's so powerful. I just love it.
Oh, good.
I wondered what other patterns my innocence has latched onto from my parents, I presume, that we could clear.
Okay. So I want you to tell me what other pattern has come up for you in this call or just before, and let's clear that one because I want to get the one close to the surface.
Well, there's the autoimmune thing, and there's the, you know, the whole giving power away. Now I'm going foggy.
Going foggy?
Foggy, like foggy. I can't think. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into this again. The autoimmune is secret self-hatred. Where does this come from? Secret self-hatred comes from people not respecting or loving you. And you take that pattern on as a way
and not seeing me maybe as who I truly am, maybe.
Always that's part of it. Because if we saw that, if we knew how amazing we were, we wouldn't be bothering with that nonsense.
Right.
We truly loved and respected ourselves, you know, we would. Now, what does it take to get there if you've been patterned by a difficult event or parent? So you got to walk that road again. You got to go into it and feel free. Now you can take friends with you. You can take me with you. You can take someone else with you. You can make it as easier on yourself. But you have to, like, get to those places that you programmed that way so that you can restore yourself. So for you, let's see which one wants to come up now. Okay. So the violence against yourself. We could call that an autoimmune thing. So let's go into all the places that you have violence that you have taken from other people and applied to your dear body. Now, this violence can come in overtreating, which autoimmune is kind of like overtreating.
Yeah.
And it's also like beating yourself up a bit. Because it doesn't, you know, because the cycle breaks because the body, we have a program in the body to keep healing what's already been healed and to keep mm-hmm. looking for problems where they've already been resolved. So then you get this over-inflammation, right? So let's go into all the cells of the body that have this over-inflammation and calm. Here's one way to do this, and this is a pretty good little meditation you can do daily or, you know, however that feels right for you to do it. Just take the cell of your body that represents the autoimmune and put it right in front of you. Because if you take it out of your body, sometimes it's easier to work with, depending on how emotional you are about it. And just sort of observe it and love it and ask that that one cell be restored to its perfected, healthy state.
Looks like a tired, wilted cell.
Okay, so let's let the innocence show up. I think the innocence is busy beating you up. It doesn't even know how to recognize the cell. So let's go to the innocence that is starting fires all over your body. And I see stress behind it. It was really patterned to react to stress by this inflammation response. Does that feel right?
Well, are you thinking of as a child or just as my whole life evolved?
Almost all of it starts somewhere in the childhood and repeats, but it could happen in an event after. I definitely feel that kind of event after your mother's death. But
right.
that one has a different edge to it.
Right.
So let's go to some stress, some event.
Okay.
What do you see there?
Kind of red, clashy energy, kind of like energy.
Like, I don't know what to do kind of stuff, so I'll be distressed here.
Well, I was seeing like a violent energy, kind of red, clashy.
We're in with your mom now. Okay, so go to your innocence. Let's go to your innocence that's participating in that. And say, hey, I'd like to reprogram this for help. And, of course, it doesn't know because it's in this timeless state of continuing to beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And this part took on some of what your mom felt. So go ahead and just kind of get a fire hose of love and bring it back. I'm going to run that through your whole body. I want you to go look at that wilted cell. How does it look now?
Still a little wilted, but it's better. It the edges are a little smoother.
Okay. So let's go into the part that's wilted.
Oh, so tired.
And not able to take nurturing. It's so busy taking on the stress, it won't take self-nurturing anymore.
And yet I seem to spend a lot of time self-nurturing. But somehow it doesn't get down deep enough, maybe.
Yeah, so let's kind of be with this. Let's just be with the cell. Ask it what it needs to be perky. And back to homeostasis, which it forgot what it was. That's what it is. It forgot what it was. So let's reset the homeostasis to regeneration. Take some breaths. Let all this go. go back to the cell. How's the cell looking? Is it absorbing
plumper.
Any of it? Plumper.
It's plumper.
There you go. So I want you to take that cell, and it's in its more restored state. It's not complete yet. There's more you're going to do here. But this is a good start, because if you stop the inflammation, there's half of it. All right, so let's go ahead and just, I'm going to upgrade your cell. And we're going to put it back in your body, and we're going to let it expand everywhere. The energy through the whole quantum field. Here, I'm in it. I think we just about have it here. Okay, Vicki, how are you feeling?
Better.
Thank
better.
You.
Yes, and I love the staff. I love the equanimity, innocent staff.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that. Thank you.
That is, I do too, and it took the group to pull that together, so I'd like to thank everybody for that, because that, I knew we weren't complete, but I try to take everyone as far as we can without going so far nobody can actually do it. But that, everyone, my hat's off to all of you for that. That was wonderful. Thank you, Vicki.
Thanks, Carrie. Let's go.
Hi, Sarah. This is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Oh, what a call.
I know.
Anyway, I was trying to, like someone else said, it's like what I need to talk about keeps shifting. And
I love that. That's actually really good, isn't it?
Yeah. But I kind of felt like I've left myself in almost a hopeless place. And I was looking at where the patterns of that.
Hopeless?
Yeah. And as far as, it's like I grew up with three brothers where, you know, the guys were treated like princes, and me and mom are the slaves. And then we've talked before about in my 20s when I got into a cult, and it was that same kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was always trying to work really hard and please everybody so that they would like me. And you know, my brothers, still, it's like I want them to be this family, even though we're really old now. and they're
mm-hmm.
not ever going to do that. It's like they want me as long in their life for what I can do for them. And it's like I want them to want to be a family. But it's kind of that no matter how hard I work, like at work, even where I'm at now, I can do twice as much as someone else, and they'll get rewarded, and they'll get a raise or a promotion, and I won't. But I think that goes back to this childhood thing of wanting to work as hard as I can to create this family. And
mm-hmm.
and it's just, why can't, like even now, why don't I just let go of my brothers are going to do what they're going to do. You know, our parents are both deceased now. And it's like this little kid that still wants them to want me, to love me. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like that holds me back from standing in my power, from being who I really am, from knowing who I really am.
That's right.
And,
because the pattern like takes over, and so you're acting, like we were talking earlier, about making your, I think Kate, we're talking about the choice for which vitamins to buy and how much to spend. You want
mm-hmm.
that to be, you want to come from that place of empowerment, the choice to either go back into the enslaved personality who can get slavish wages and recognition, taken
mm-hmm.
for granted is really what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But, you know, there's nothing about you that's robotic.
No.
I mean, if I look at you, there is no, you reject that so completely. I mean,
yeah.
I think you always rejected it. I think it was just the have to. I have to.
Yeah.
This is how this family doesn't accept me, so this is the best way I can get some acceptance. You know, the
mm-hmm.
family isn't working, but if I fill in all the holes that no one else is paying attention to, then maybe the family will work. So having the family work becomes the role, and whatever it takes to get that job done is what you adopted. So
mm-hmm.
at this point, you absolutely do not need that pattern, and it clearly holds
no.
you back. So let's
yeah.
go to that staff that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
and let's
kind of like Gandalf. sitting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Cartoons are great. Harry Potter, whatever it takes. Lord of the Rings. Okay, here we go. Yes, that's what we're, as the patriarchy, which isn't just about men, because women can be very complicit in patriarchal society as well, because, you know, they
Absolutely.
Also want to hold things together.
My boss is female, but.
Yeah, exactly. So what we want to do is it's not like we want to destroy the whole thing. What we want to do is bring the pattern back to our own self-empowerment. And the grid that holds that together begins to dissolve. And it dissolves with people around us, personally, professionally, globally. And you can see some real blind spots with that type of personality or that type of co-opt. But you're wiser than that. So I'm still staying in that equanimity. I think I have one of the keys that holds that glue for you, Karen, and that is things won't work unless I do that.
Yeah.
And so that holds you into that slavish devotion to the underpaid acts. Things won't work unless I do that. So I'm compelled to keep on that. And in fact, it only, you know, that glue, that you're using it like glue. I want you to just take that energy of the glue back. And I want you to make it more sacred. That each act that you commit at work or in your personal life or with your brothers is going to be a sacred act. And those decisions are coming from your core. So you might occasionally see yourself, oh, I did the slavish word thing again. but I don't want you to beat yourself up. I just want you to go back to your core and make each choice, like, what am I going to do in work this way? What am I going to do with your brothers? What do I say? What do I do? And then people do respect people who shift that way. You might have like some memories of you step out into who you are and the world crushes you. But that's not going to happen here. The world already respects you. They're just not able to see you because you're hiding in the slavish glue.
Yeah,
and you're taking that innocence and making it that way. And you don't need to. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I've been trying to step into, and maybe it's the wrong direction of trying to just be willing to have it all fall apart.
You have been unwilling to do that?
I'm feeling like I'm stepping into being willing to let it all fall apart, to have, whether it's work or my, you know, birth family or whatever part of my life. And yet, I mean, part of me just doesn't want it all to fall apart, you know.
But what is falling apart?
I guess with the brothers, it's like just become completely estranged from them because they're not ever going to be supportive of me and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But then I step back. Am I supportive of me and who I am?
Right. Well, the more you are, I mean, you're changing a lifetime pattern because they're responding to what they think and how they see you and how you present yourself. So some of them will shift and some might and some might not, or maybe none of them will, but that's none of your business. What really happens is you become yourself. And then, you know how to create a family because you were in a cult. You know how to create the people around you. You're just not able to because you're still feeding yourself the lie that being this glue and filling in the spaces other people are forgetting about is more important than being my own sovereign, empowered Gandhi.
Yeah.
Is it Gandhi? No, it's Gandalf. My own inner Gandalf, right? So you want to be your own inner Gandalf.
Yeah.
And once that staff is really empowered, that attraction, that's very magnetic. That will bring in the people around you. And some of them will show up to, you know, reinforce that glue is really stupid. And some of them will reinforce that, hey, there's this way is getting cleared. We're done with this. So let's go into the awkward stage in between and all the places that is an expectation of an awkward stage. So the willingness to fall apart is simply the recognition that things are going to change. Some things will go to the wayside and some things will, you know, will be a springtime event, will be a new event. But you're going to be the center of that new event rather than, you know, being something you're really not, because you're not really from the slave paradigm.
No.
you know it's false for you. There's some people where being in service is the thing, and that is perfect for them, and they know that's their thing and they feel great about it. But that isn't you.
No.
So you can almost laugh about it, right?
Yeah. And,
almost.
Almost, yeah. There's still that fear of really stepping into my power, because I haven't this lifetime. I don't feel like moments, maybe.
No, yeah, because you've been hiding. So why, what would happen if you did?
Oh, well, I think I would like myself better. You know?
Yeah, so there's a benefit.
There would be more authentic, be living, I guess, a more authentic life instead of kind of hiding out.
And a little bit more magical, Karen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your natal space is being able to just make things happen. But it's like you slowed everything down to fit into this other thing, which is a wonderful spy skill. But it's not, you know, that's for a moment, not for a lifetime.
That's funny what you call it, spy skills, because dreams, I'm like a spy person.
And, yeah,
you know, and I can be like a ninja person, and you know, I can do all this stuff, but undercover, and it's like I don't need to be undercover anymore.
Well, you know, and you're kind of undercover to yourself, because I think you'd be surprised that other people see you the way that I see you. Many people see you for who you are.
Okay.
So start with those people in the switch, where hang out with the people who really can see you. I was talking to someone recently. I don't know if they're in this group or not, but she's getting ready to get out in the world. And she was like, you know, everyone's just a loser everywhere I go. You know, I just don't fit in. It doesn't work. It's bad. And they don't like me and I don't like them. And this is what I suggested to her, which I think is probably a pretty good thing. Go to where your body feels really comfortable. Hang out with people where your body feels like this is safe. And that's a good starting point. And then start hanging out with the people where where you get activated and renewed and new ideas. And you know, you start, the part of you, like all the cylinders start moving, everything just starts moving, and you start seeing yourself and seeing the possibilities, and so you feel enriched being within the group, and you can see them being enriched being around you. So, you know, take those spy skills and start putting yourself in situations. First, get the body comfortable. Your body is comfortable. You don't feel judged. You're not judging them. Everyone's just comfortable. And then go to the part that really lights you up. And that's how you begin to feel yourself in the community where you're set to be. And you can put this, you know, the coat up. What is the coat that all the spies wear? You can hang that on.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. The London fog coat or something. Yeah, just hang that up for a little bit. and then go and just kind of enjoy it. Just have fun with this. Because you can also make that part of your spy thing, too, if you want, if you're more comfortable calling it that. But let it be an experiment. Thank you, Karen. It was nice to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Okay, everyone, let's go ahead and clear the field again. Let me go ahead and do a check-in. You might need a nap today. That'd be fine. Okay, so everyone's doing good with that detox. I want to go into the well energy. So that's the pure energy in the earth, because it's Earth Day. And let that come up. Like you're the new spring in water, in balance with the air, with your innocence, with that staff. I'm going to make you in harmony with the universe, the collective, and that river of humanity we were talking about, which includes your ancestry. Good. Thank you, everyone. This was just a pleasure to talk to you through these three calls. We'll be doing another set, and I hope that's appealing to you. If you have any thoughts of what you'd like to talk about in future calls, feel free to let me know. So let's all say goodbye and a hui ho.
Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Love to everyone. Love to you.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.